we think about the cross, I think one of the questions that comes to mind right away is why? Why did Jesus go to the cross? It's pretty much the question of Good Friday. And so many different ideas and perspectives. We could certainly go on forever thinking of reasons, and they probably would be really good. One author wrote a book, 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came to Die. While all those reasons are good and excellent, they're solid spiritual reasons, we must not lose sight of the fact that the death of Jesus was also a historical fact. Our precious gospel is not just warm, fuzzy feelings. They're based around events that actually happened. And that's part of what we do on Good Friday. We pause and we remember that these things are not just obscure little things in our Bibles. These are real events. A man really died for us to be made whole. In the few moments that we have together tonight, I would just like to explore a few of these spiritual reasons why, and then hopefully give us some more things to reflect on. I want to lead us in thinking about that question, why did Jesus go to the cross? And let me pray for us and ask for God's help before we do that. So would you pray with me? Father, again, we pause in our time that we've set aside here, Lord, in a church body that is gathered but yet scattered in our homes because of what is going on with this virus. And Lord, how many in Sussex County and New Jersey are impacted by that? And of course, we want to stop and we want to take a moment and we want to pray for those that are sick. Lord, we would ask that you would grant those that are struggling with the virus endurance. You would bring them healing. You would give them wisdom in treatment and knowing when to go to the doctor or when to rest or all of that, Lord. Most of all, would you anchor their hearts and their souls and their minds in Jesus. And Lord, we are so thankful that no matter what is going on around us, the coronavirus that suddenly we thought we were done with is now spiked, many other things that we can think of, our family stresses, our work stresses, our own medical issues apart from corona, all of those things, they don't stop in the middle of this, Lord. And we pray that you would shine the hope of the light of the gospel into each one of those situations. But God, as we pause for a few moments to look in your word and specifically look at why Jesus came to die, we pray for your spirit to help us so that we might see these things from your word in clarity and it might embolden our faith and deepen our roots and that you would be glorified in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, why did Jesus go to the cross? And the first reason that you might think of is it's in obedience. In obedience to the Father's plan. And we sung about the Father's plan before. If you're new to the gospel is the center of what we are as Christians and what we do here, especially at Highlands. The gospel is news. It is good news of what Jesus has done for sinners to reconcile us. Sinners like you and sinners like me, what he's done to fix the situation that sin has brought upon our world. It's also a plan, and it's also always been the plan. The cross is not a reaction. The cross was part of the plan from the beginning. The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 tells that straight up to some people who probably did not appreciate him saying it. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 22, it says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." And Peter there, listen carefully to those words. Jesus was delivered up, he says, according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that Christ died in accordance with the scriptures. And the Old Testament even tells of the Messiah who will come. And we say at Highlands that God is sovereign. meaning he has unlimited control over all things. All things were created by him and for him and through him and exist for his glory. And even Jesus came in obedience to the Father's sovereign plan. Specifically, though, this passage tells us that God did it through the hands of lawless men. The Romans and the Jews, the faces in the crowd yelling insults, mocking him to bring about his plan. Sometimes you might think, well, who put Jesus on the cross? And you might think the Romans did or the Jews did. And in a sense, yes, they did. But it was God working in the evil that was present in their hearts to accomplish the greatest good. You see, God's sovereignty extends over evil. So that those lawless men intended what they intended for evil, God then redeemed it and turned it around for the greatest good. And it was all part of his plan. And they were like pawns in his great and wonderful plan of redemption. He doesn't cause evil directly, but he stands indirectly behind it, ready to redeem. There's nothing then that is out of reach of the hands of the sovereign God to use for his purposes. I mean, I always think of the disciples that day and the other people as they were watching that. They must have been crushed. They must have thought, this is it. We followed this guy, and now he just got killed. Where do we go from here? If they would have remembered, Jesus told them several times that this is what was going to happen, right? But of course, in their grief, don't forget, they lost probably their best friend that they had for the last 3 years. And thinking about everything, that all their memories, and now he's gone. And they grieved in that. And the shock of then probably followed by fear of what's coming next. Because if they killed him, they're probably coming for us. Not realizing that God's sovereign plan included all of that. And it was all for good. And Jesus went to the cross in obedience to the Father's plan. And part of the plan of God still continues, of course. It's part of his plan that you are listening to me, hopefully proclaim the gospel, hopefully proclaim the truth from God's word. If you're just cruising by Facebook and you see the bald guy behind the pulpit talking about Jesus on Good Friday, it's all part of God's plan for you to hear. And if you submit to it as truth, or if you already have, you again are part of God's plan to bring you to faith in his sovereignty. You see, God's plan is for us too. It's not just this big sovereign plan that exists elsewhere. Speaking of which, I want us to look at what God thinks of us. That's the second reason I want to say why Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross because he loves us. Ephesians 2 tells us that God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sin, he saved us by grace. John 3:16, of course, tells us that God loved the world, that he gave his only unique son, that whoever believes in him will have life. And Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were enemies, he died for us. We talked about that recently in our series in Matthew about how we love our enemies or we hate our enemies, Jesus calling them to love their enemies. And we realize that we all were once enemies of God, and yet at that point, Jesus died for us out of his love. The proof for Jesus' love for us is that he gave his life for us. And if you ever wonder, which maybe we all do at one time or another, are you good, God? Are you there? Do you actually love me? We look at the cross and we see the depth of his love. It's good to dwell on the depth of God's love for us because that transcends all circumstances. It's impervious to circumstances. It remains constant, eternal, no matter what is going on around us, through the dark and through the storm. That love remains constant. And the love of Jesus is free. Not necessarily for us as disciples, because it's costly to be a disciple. My friend says, you know, following Jesus doesn't cost you anything except everything. That idea that we give up, we die to ourselves in order to follow Jesus, and that's the best thing for us. But discipleship is costly, but it's free. God gives us his love for free in that sense. It's unhindered. And God's love is free in the sense of being completely unencumbered, completely uninhibited, completely uncompelled by us and what we can actually bring to the situation. That kind of leads us to the third reason I want to talk about of why Jesus went to the cross, because he wanted to. Jesus went to the cross because he wanted to. And that this seems to get overlooked, especially today, the invasion of liberal Christianity and progressive Christianity want to kind of pick on the atonement and kind of say it's divine child abuse that God the Father just required the blood of his son in order for us to be forgiven. That's cruel. That doesn't make any sense. But it completely overlooks the fact that Jesus wanted to go to the cross. Jesus wasn't being forced to go to the cross. It's not the work of some monstrous father who condemned his son to die. And the obvious really should be that he didn't have to. He didn't have to go to the cross. He could have left us in our state, and our state was separated from God because of our sin. Our state was spiritually dead. Our state was that we had no way of saving ourselves or making ourselves right. He could have left us like that. We're the ones that chose sin and rejected God. And he could have left us in our sin, but he didn't. Because it was a conscious act of the will. If we look briefly at John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, it says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. For I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Did you guys catch that? That Jesus said, "I lay it down. No one's taking my life from me. I'm laying it down. I'm doing this intentionally." It's the heart of Jesus. That he was free to not die, but he freely decided to die. And likewise, in a sense, so are we, right? We are free to reject that offer. We are free to reject the importance of what this day really means as Good Friday. And the opposite is true, right? We freely, I'm not any of my Reformed brothers, don't get too nervous, like there is God's sovereignty and salvation and all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we are free then to choose. We are free then to say, "Yes, I understand what you're." Of course, the gospel makes the most sense to me. Why don't people understand that? Why don't people get what Jesus has done for them? And I think that's kind of the last reason that I wanted to mention. There's one overarching reason that Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross because we needed him to. And without his death, we are unreconciled. We are still in our sin. We are still at enmity with God. We are still under God's wrath for our sin and facing eternal judgment. We read the details of the crucifixion in Luke 23. It was horrific. Non-biblical historians frequently tell us this was the worst way to die. It was humiliating. You were naked, nailed to a cross where the whole world saw you and laughed at you as they walked by. The physical torture that Jesus experienced after arrest, the beatings, the scourging, the whipping, the crown of thorns being pushed into his head, not to mention the psychological anguish of the weight of sin being placed on him. I don't know if you guys have ever walked through really serious brokenness in sin, or have been impacted by someone else's sin to the extent that it almost crushes you, that's still one person's sin. Think about what all of the sins of the world felt like to Jesus. I often think he must have been dead before the first nail went into his wrists and his feet. Spikes, of course, being driven through his wrists and through his feet, forced to hang there and pull himself up in excruciating pain every time he needed to take a breath. That's how the cross works. That's why it's an instrument of slow torture, that you literally suffocate to death. That in order to breathe, you have to pull yourself up by the very hands and wrists that are nailed into the beam. And take a breath, and then you fall back down again in exhaustion. And eventually what happens is you just get tired of doing that. You can't do that anymore. You physically can't lift yourself up anymore to take another breath. And that takes hours. Sometimes that takes days. All the while, people throwing things at you, mocking you, cursing you. The Apostle John tells us in his gospel that one of the soldiers comes to verify that Jesus is dead, and he drives a spear up into his chest and penetrates his heart. And John tells us that out of the side of Jesus flows blood and water. And tradition tells us that the Temple Mount, you know, think about the temple back in that, think about the thousands and tens of thousands of sacrifices that were given on the Temple Mount. Think about how much blood that would have been there from those animal sacrifices. And tradition tells us that underneath the altar at the Temple Mount, there were drains to drain away the blood. And those drains worked their way through, down, and out a hole in the side of the Temple Mount, where it mixed with a spring of water. And so if you were making your way up the Kidron Valley and up, and you looked a certain way at a certain time, what you would see coming out of the very mountain of the temple is blood and water. And when that spear penetrated Jesus' heart, what came out was blood and water. And what that's saying to us is that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, that Jesus is the new temple, that Jesus was sacrificed once for all. The presence of God is no longer in a place. The presence of God is then with us all. We heard it read that the curtain separating the most holy place was torn in two. Therefore, what? We have access to God through Jesus' sacrifice. He is the perfect new temple. And without him doing that, we don't have access to God, and we are still in our sins. And he went to the cross because we needed him to. Out of his heart, out of the very heart, the physical heart of Jesus, flows that blood and water that represents the eternal sacrifice, that represents our forgiveness, our justification, our adoption, our healing, our wholeness, all of that. No other sacrifice is needed. The perfect sacrifice has been completed in Jesus Christ. And so he went to the cross because we needed him to. And of course, on Good Friday always has that sense of, yeah, but the resurrection. And yes, the resurrection is certainly coming, and we will celebrate that together on Sunday. But on Good Friday, we have to just let the crucifixion sit. And we have to think about what it actually cost our Savior for our forgiveness and the perfect sacrifice that he did. He went to the cross because we needed him to. Let me pray for us, and we will transition in a moment to a time of communion together. But let's pray. Father, as we think about again the sacrifice of Jesus, would you help us to think well on these things, to think deeply on these things, maybe to think in a way that we haven't before, maybe to think about the sin that we so easily entertain, Lord, and what that cost you to be the sacrifice for our sins. Would you make us thankful? Would you cause us, Lord, to somberly commemorate this as we think about this together? In Jesus' name, amen.